from Montgomery. I had my guitar on my back. When a stranger stopped beside me in an antique Cadillac. He was dressed like 1950, half drunk and hollow-eyed. He said, it's a long walk to Nashville, would you like to ride, son? When I sat down in the front seat, he turned on the radio, and them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale when he asked me for a light. And I knew there was something strange about this ride. He
said, I can't tell you how good it was this week to have Joe back on the show. It's been over a year, and like we talk about in the upcoming recording, you know, life happens, and he's got a whole new family life going on, and we jumped into this right at the beginning of the whole pandemic. So we had plenty of time going into it, and then the pandemic took over, and then a lot of stress of life came about, you know, especially for him, the just moving and having a new kid and all that stuff. A lot to take in and a lot to get used to. But this episode is really great. We're talking about Yellowstone, and there's a little bit of an audio problem there at the very beginning, and I apologize. It's my fault. Doesn't have anything to do with Joe or anything on his end. I screwed up on the two-channel recording, and he sounds a little bit like he's in the background, so turn it up and use both of your earbuds so you can hear both the left and the right channel on this. This is almost like a flashback of our first recording from two fucking years ago, where we screwed up everything we possibly could. But give us a chance. You're going to like the conversation. So coming at you, this is the next live episode of What's Your F and Binge, brought to you by both Anchor and Spotify. Also, our publicist, Stephen Joyner, with the SJ Network, working with him to be bringing some more people in. But everybody, welcome back, Joe, and I really hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time.
3, 2, 1. I am not a rocket ship. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of What's Your Effin' Binge. After a year hiatus, I've got Joe Shriver back with us. This week, we're going to be talking about Yellowstone, but just real quick, Joe, say hey. Sometimes.
Yeah, I stepped away to work on the family thing that I got going on, and it's still a work in progress. But
of course. You know, yeah, this time,
I'm gonna be on board.
And this time, whenever we do any recordings, we're not gonna do it based off of interviews or anything else I do on the side. It's not like Joe's gonna be available all the time or whatever, but whenever he is available, then we'll definitely make sure that we drop a recording for everybody on the What's Your F and Ben stuff. And but we're not going to do the whole guessing game with other people or get trapped in watching something dreadful like what was that one, BoJack Horseman and fucking all the other shit we had to watch. Virgin River. Yes, Virgin. Yeah, Virgin because I'm gay. River. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I love that fucking reminder. I'm like, God damn it. What was that asshole's name that made us watch that? Yeah.
What other Lifetime movie network stuff is available to you?
Yeah, definitely. Having to recently watch Army Wives with my wife, I understand why that guy got through Virgin River, but I would never recommend it to a couple other dudes to watch, that's for sure.
It's not a bad show, it's just not...
Right.
Yeah.
It didn't fit us to be able to talk about well, that's for sure.
Yeah. We'll stick with that.
Yeah.
I think it did make the dumpster news
It definitely was one of our four dumpster juices that we had in review, along with Riverdale and.
I mean, it's great if you need to take a nap and.
Right, and not care what's going on when you wake back up. Yeah. Yeah, that one was dreadful. But this one is something that organically both of us found on our own. You had just moved to Arizona whenever this list had started, and or whenever the show had started, I'm sorry. And, you know, just so everybody knows where we are, we're going into season four, and this is on the heels of going through the dynamic of finding out, you know, the patriarch of the family, John Dutton, played by Kevin Costner. He obviously rules with an iron fist, and the battle is to keep the land away from everybody and to keep it, you know, pure the way it's been in the family for like 150 fucking years or whatever. Like, they literally took the land from the Indians in the story, which makes them, in a political correct world, obviously, they have to be the bad guys, but I think that they're just the driving force or the dynamic that makes everything else work. But then, you know, you have Casey, his son, who's, he's a really interesting character, and then you have Beth, the daughter, and then you have Rip, who's the adopted part of the family that used to live just in the bunkhouse, but hi, Jelly Bean. And so, you know, you've got Rip, who grew up in the bunkhouse. He came to the.
I can barely hear that.
But you know, I kind of, whenever I was sitting back, you know, kind of collecting my thoughts on how it is I wanted to talk about this, which we'll talk about the season four dynamic that throughout history of these great of these big shows like this that end up being such an important season or a big jumping off point to turn them into like a legit franchise, you know. But whenever I was looking at all these characters with John Dutton and with Casey, the son who died in the first season, and along with Beth, and then also Rip and the character that he plays, these are four individual, and Jamie, you can't forget, you know, Jamie, obviously, the weasel of the family. I don't know what it is about that dude, but he always looked like a fucking lizard to me. Yes, I was wondering why he looked so familiar and also off, like, seems like he's been off the scene forever, or he's just been doing shit I would never watch. I don't know. But
that was 20 years ago. He still looks the same.
Still looks the same, right? Yeah, he looks like he looks like one of the lizard people off Land of the Lost or something. I don't know what it is, but. Yeah, he's the quintessential looking, like, weasel-like kind of bad guy. Only a mother would love that motherfucker, you know? I don't know. He's not that bad, but, you know, goddamn. It is kind of, I mean... Yeah, he looks like a lizard who's about to shoot his tongue out all the time. That's... that's a horrible thing to say, but he fits this character dynamic really well. But whenever you look at the three main men of the ranch, and then also looking at Beth, I was like, these are like three different dudes playing three different stages of John Wayne, and she's the quintessential, you know, leading lady in a lot of his movies. You know, I mean, you've seen all three of them; they're all doing their best fucking Duke, I think. Who's awesome and great in a lot of other shows.
Yeah, and one of the things I was going to talk about with him, and you see that crazy Nazi that, hey, you need a friend, you need someone to talk to, that's Cole Hauser, dude. So he's already got that kind of badass look, legitimate, you know, look to him. Even in Dazed and Confused, when he, you know, plays one of the lines on one of Pink's buddies and stuff, he's the one that's like, you better not fuck this up, dude, or I will fucking make your life suck.
He's got that drop dead stare and that really straight delivery, he embodies that kind of character. And then the way Casey plays his at the beginning, you kind of don't know what to think about the kid, right? Because he's like really off put with his dad. They obviously have an estranged relationship, and so you don't know how to take him other than, you know, right off the bat, I think it's by episode three, they shoot that scene where he's in the trailer with the other Indian that he ends up killing. talking about all of his Navy, all of the awards that he had won while he was in the military. So you obviously know he's got a Navy Cross, a fucking Bronze Star, all this shit. Which that's Army, but anyways, he had all of these different medallions and ribbons and everything. It shows he's a decorated war hero, so you know that he's a little bit different. And then the role that he turns into, where he ends up being an officer of the law, falling in John's steps.
Yeah,
I like the kid, man. I don't know what his real name is off the top of my head, but he's really playing this role fucking awesome, I think.
Yeah, good character. I like him, and you know, like you said, there's a lot. Because when I first watched it, I don't get sucked into shows like in the first episode, really. There's a couple rare exceptions. Game of Thrones, I remember coming to work when we were working together. Game of Thrones, after season one, I said, dude, I don't know what the fuck I just watched, but Sunday can't come to the end.
Right.
You know, and probably Sopranos sucked me in, but I mean, great shows like Sons of Anarchy took me a while. Justified took me a few episodes.
Justified felt like it took like a season to work into, but this one definitely grabs you, man, that's for sure.
Right, I mean, the first episode, you got motherfuckers dying, you got this kid, he's living with the Indians, and then, but he knows John, somehow John's got kind of a grizzled, you know, a real grizzled cowboy, seen at home.
Yeah. Right, it takes until like episode six or so in season one, I think, before you actually know it.
You're trying to figure out why does he have such a soft spot for this kid?
Yeah.
And you know, and then the shit goes down at the end of the episode, and you're like, oh, you know, it kind of little baby kind of makes sense. And he's a little bit younger than the rest of the family. I think he's in the series, in the show. I think he's probably like what, 4 or maybe 5 years younger than that.
He's the baby of the baby of the family by quite a bit, I think.
Yeah, so.
Because he's in his, like, mid to late 20s, and she's, like, I think she actually says 32. So she's got to be a good 5 or 6 years older than him, so he's the baby by a pretty good shot, you know.
And of course, her and Jamie are, like, a year apart, and then Jamie is a couple years older.
If you look at all the Facebook stuff and everything, of course, you know, for us looking, you know, having two choices between either Monica or Beth, and both of them are beautiful women and they're both good actors. But if you look at all these Facebook groups and everything, all these women have, you know, three guys that they're just going gaga over all the time. So it's got this really cool dynamic where both men and women are able to be interested in it from that standpoint, and then the writing and the acting draws you in.
Yeah. I want to talk for a minute about Taylor Sheridan, if I could.
Of course.
So this is a guy who spent two plus seasons on a little show called Sons of Anarchy. He played Deputy Chief Hale. And he wasn't a really big, you know, wasn't a household, I don't know if he's a household name yet, but he's getting there very quickly. But I think he learned an awful lot in those two plus seasons about writing and format, and from watching one of the best, Kurt Suter.
Yeah, he learned at the knee of Kurt Suter, as far as like they spent a lot of time together, Suter sharing shit with him, I think.
Yeah. And you can see that he's kind of influenced by some of Kurt Suter's stuff, in the way that he kind of, like, this last season, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, takes, a character that's just an unremarkable character. You have no idea why you should even, know or care about this kid. I'm talking about the kid.
Right.
And on the bench, Beth goes out there, and they're both at the hospital. And all of a sudden, this kid is relevant to this advancement of the story, I think.
It's going to play a big part whenever we come back to that.
I feel like this kid is going to be a major player. He's a great little actor, honestly.
And he's British, just like Beth, you know?
To see where they're talking, about their problems and stuff, and he has to go, say goodbye to his dad. It sucked at me a little bit. I was oh, wow, these kids can...
Yeah, that's some depth. That's some serious depth on that. And then whenever he comes back, the first time I watched it, I laughed out loud. The first interaction with Rip, because it was just so fucking dead on. And this kid's just like, what? And, everybody who's watching it, we're a few days past this being out. So if you haven't watched it yet, sorry for the spoiler. But the kid is, he's really good. And you can tell that the scene with Beth and him at the end, and he's like, you like this, don't you? He's like, you want to know why? Because you got a mean streak as wide as a badger's. I laughed out fucking loud, and whenever he threw the kid out of the truck, all of that was just so funny and dead on, dude.
And Rip likes this kid, and Rip's he's got this kind of reputation of being a badass, and he's one of the most characters I've seen in a long time in a show.
Yeah, he's as heavy as anything you would see on a mob show like Sopranos or, Sons. Like, there haven't been that many dudes that straight up badass are willing to go.
Yeah, but he's also, you can tell he's also got a little bit of a soft spot for, especially the loyalty factor.
Yeah.
With John and, him and Beth, of course, have got their thing going on. But I think he sees himself a lot in this kid, and he doesn't want to.
No, he does not like it. No. I think he says, "You puppy dog, my lady, and made her ask me. Fuck that. Fuck you." Yeah, that's great shit.
There's that, and what you said about season four.
always got MASH. Right, that's when Potter died, yeah. And then following in the footsteps, you got, fuck if I know, but I know what we're going to talk about. The Viper in the Mountain is probably
arguably the best season of Game of Thrones.
And the episode 11, Viper in the Mountain, where those two actually have their duel, that's probably one of my favorite episodes of the entire season, or everything.
Of anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so well done. The Sopranos season 4 is when it really starts jumping off. Sons of Anarchy, right? Season 3 ends with, they finally get the stall, and season 4 opens, and the club's at an all-time high. They're all getting out of prison.
Right.
They've expanded, they've swole the ranks, and in comes one of the baddest villains ever, who's still alive, by the way, spoiler alert, in the spinoff series, Mayan.
Uh-huh.
Lincoln
can't get put the screws together. There's definitely something off about it.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah, everything jumped off there for sure.
The Office, I know it's not linear, it's more episodic, but that was probably the best season of The Office, with season 4. Breaking Bad, of course.
Yeah.
So,
and then going into currently, I know the shows you're going to talk about, but Peaky Blinders, the difference between season 3 and season 4, that's whenever they jump into international shit. They're playing in America, not just South Birmingham. And you see this big explosion. And then you got Ozark and what are the other ones?
Five really strong shows are launching season 4 in the following months. We got Yellowstone, which we're talking about right now, the first one. And probably when we do, if we're fortunate enough to be around in 2030,
if they get two more seasons in, for sure.
Yeah. Coming up in December, and this means a little bit more to me than probably most people, me and you, people our age, but Cobra Kai, which is a very rudimentary show. I mean, there's not a lot of gapping going on.
You see everything that's coming. It's predictable.
Happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty predictable. It's pretty formulaic. But it's also pretty endearing, and it's a fun little show. That comes out early December. There's no release date on season 4 yet of Stranger Things that I know about, but I imagine it would be right around
June or July is when it usually comes out.
Right. Ozark, we talked about. That is supposed to be, this is it. Season 4 is it for Ozark.
Right.
They've already announced it. And I think it's going to be a double length season. So it's on Netflix. They'll drop the first half, and then they'll do the wrap the second half, and I'll drop it.
Maybe drop the second half in spring, whenever everything else is about to pop off.
Probably. And the other one is Kurt Suter, who we talked about, Mayans, which I don't know
Suter right in the first two seasons, which you can tell the difference whenever that does change, but it still holds up, so hopefully season 4 comes out with something big and furious.
Yeah, so, and Mayans, I think is right at that level to where if you get on par with Sons of Anarchy right now, I mean, they left season 3 really, really good. So,
it's pretty wide open with a lot of different shit going on, so which is usually the formula to be able to pull in a lot of stuff that causes friction, then you can end up with. That's how all these other shows have great season 4s jumping into it. So with season 4 of Yellowstone, you got the opening coming in. You see Dutton is laid on the ground, John Dutton, Kevin Costner's character. He's laid down, he's been shot, fucking 6 or 7 times with the fucking AK. And then you see Casey, he's flipping over the desk in his office, and here comes these guys dressed in black, which Casey, I don't give a fuck, he's just as badass as Rip, he's reluctant to do it, whereas Rip will just grab
him. Rip
kind of lives
for that thing.
Yeah, I love Rip, man, that's my kind of guy.
Casey is very reluctant. Yeah.
Right. Rip may or may not, and it may only apply to Beth, and at the end of the season, probably the kid, too. we see that. Blown all the fuck. And then nothing happens to Jamie, and we don't know for sure yet what has happened to Monica and Tate. But, well, they definitely had them hit out. My first thought was she's at the university again. That would be like the ideal place to hide her, that she's always publicly surrounded or, whatever. But seeing the preview for the next show, I don't think so. Maybe it's just the way they cut it together, but it looks like they have them hit out someplace, you know, off the grid, even more off the grid than the Yellowstone Ranch. So, but what you don't see until you see Beth come to his office is anything at all about Jamie. And one thing that Casey says whenever him and Costner are sitting in the hot mode, yeah.
You know, my wife asked me the same thing. She said, "Do you think Jamie's behind it?" I said, and this was before we even watched, you know, before the season dropped. I said, "No, I don't think he has anything to do with it. I think he wants to be ostracized from that family. I think he wants to not be associated with them anymore. And I think he does kind of want to maybe get over on them, but not from a violent perspective. I think he
wants to wag the tail of the dog, or, you know, wag the dog's tail or whatever, but get over on Costner and the family and get a little bit back at Beth or whatever, even though he's still scared shitless of her, which I don't blame him. That's a fierce motherfucking woman, dude.
I got a few real quick.
Yeah, cool. Go ahead. I'm grabbing a beer. This new program that they have. Yeah, so, okay. With Jamie, you know, we've got this, you know, like you're saying, Sarah is like, you know, do you think he was behind it? I didn't think that he was behind it only because he's portrayed as such a coward. I just didn't think he would have direct ties to it. And then whenever Costner explains, or Casey explains how he zoned the place where they're building the hotel and the reservation, everything, that they still actually own it, I was like, yeah, he probably has, you know, deed or title on some of that stuff, just kind of like how Beth fucked over Schwartz and Meyer or whatever they're called. Rainwater, or actually Old Girl that Rainwater brought in, not him specifically. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, and we never saw anything on how she wrapped up the season. The new lady they brought, you know, whenever Rip, that scene, I fucking sat up on the edge of my seat and I was like, fucking get him, Rip, whenever he walked up on that fucking faggot with the rattlesnake in the cooler. Is this yours? You sure? You say it's not yours? And he throws a rattlesnake in dude's face. I was like, that's harder than a fucking coffin nail, bro. Make sure that snake's awake and fucking throws it in his face, and they didn't leave a mark on him, so it looks like the idiot picked up a rattlesnake and got bit in the fucking face, you know?
Right, yeah.
So there's no strings coming back to them, and then we meet the chick who comes on, and you know, she's almost a little person. Yeah, talking Rainwater with the white hair or whatever. I can't think of what she was in, but she's been in a couple of, like, bigger movies, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Okay, there we go. I remember that shit. Okay, so, but I thought that scene was fucking awesome, and I can't wait to see how the rest of the season goes. We can get together and talk about, you know, like episodes 3 through 5 or later or whatever, you know, depending on what your schedule has. But what's coming up next that you're going to be watching, other than, I know Cobra Kai comes out like December, whatever the fuck, 4th or 5th, I think.
Probably December, yeah.
Whenever we did our,
it's not something I can really say. I know you're high on it. I like it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It you know, was a time when we were growing up with kids and stuff, so I can relate to that.
Right.
But that kind of, you know, fell in the back burner once you started pitching Yellowstone.
Right.
Let's see. Cobra Kai is probably my biggest thing.
It's out right now. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that. We'll probably have to do a show about that because that was the first episode of, you know, our podcast. So probably have to do that one.
And then we have Dexter.
The Dexter miniseries.
I actually did watch it.
I didn't watch all of Dexter.
I was engaged with it a little bit. I used to sit down, pull on, and watch it, but I have it on, and I was paying attention to it while I was doing the version. I do have it on my DVR.
Okay. So, did you watch the last season of Shameless?
I got through halfway of it, and then they started doing the flashbacks of, you know, the best of Ian and the best of,
you know. Yeah,
you got, yeah. A little much, the best of Ian was a little much for me.
Yeah, all the ass fucking and all that shit going on. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and Shameless, it's such a good show.
Yeah.
But the last season, I had another thing that I just kind of like fell through on me for a while. I was, you know, we were moving and I was without any kind of premium service for a while.
So, yeah, whenever you guys first moved out, you missed, you know, basically 2 seasons. Had to catch them on the replay or whatever, I think.
Like I said, my big five that I'm really looking forward to. The recap, we're watching Yellowstone right now.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai. And then I think the next one to come out will probably be Ozark, if I had to guess. And then Stranger Things, and I think mine is usually, you know, March or April. Hopefully sooner, because that's honestly outside of Yellowstone, mine is the one that I'm most looking forward to.
Mayans is kick-ass, and, you know, last year, whenever we talked about Ozark for the first time, you were real big on, you know, the new season being something to put it over. I think it came out.
Big on it, and I will stand by, you know, if this season is as strong as the rest, then this will go down as one of my favorites of all time, too.
Okay. So I think that was March or April, whenever it did end up coming out, so, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Come a long way from being, you know,
the little sidekick on
dodgeball.
He's for real a fucking lead guy now, you know, for sure.
It's a bold strategy, cause Bateman is, he's for real, and he wrote, it's up to the baby, he wrote Ozark. He was in that HBO series that was pretty good, too. I can't remember, I can't think of it right now. That one is based on Stephen King.
Fuck.
Yeah, he wrote a couple of those films and directed them.
I'm kind of looking forward to see what the fuck they do, just because it was so fun to watch whenever it first came out. That was appointment TV back in that day, but the new True Blood. I'm kind of looking forward to see what that looks like. That's not for almost another year yet, supposedly, but I'm kind of looking forward to that. But as far as what's coming up next, La Brea is actually good TV. I don't know if you've watched that or checked it out or anything, but you might want to give it a go. It's a good show to watch.
La Brea. How do we find that?
That is on NBC.
Tell our folks at home.
Yeah, that comes out Monday and Tuesday night after The Voice. I think it's Monday night. Yeah, it comes out at like 8 o'clock on NBC.
After The Voice, and it competes with Survivor.
Something like that, yeah. And it's doing pretty good. It's, okay. It's definitely...
I have heard of La Brea.
It's actually interesting. It's very much like the 100, really, to be honest with you. But it's good. It's good TV, if nothing else. It's not the greatest. It's not going to be up for any fucking Oscars like Transformers or anything. But shout out to our boy Ed.
This is actually my first appearance since we were on the hunt with
Don, and yeah.
Someone by the name of John Smith.
Don's a great dude. I talked to him a little while back, but he's the president of the Ohio Actors Guild now or some crazy shit. Yes, yeah. Yeah, he's doing things.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the last time. That was a few months ago
now. Yeah, that was back in March, I think. Yeah.
1 year anniversary, the last live show before.
We were their last live guest, and then we were their Don's last ever guest.
Yeah.
Because whenever we were on it the first time was right before the pandemic started.
All right.
And then, so that was it for studio and all that shit. So we did two of his last ever shows, so that's cool.
Yeah. Folks at home can win a bar bill with that.
Yeah, at some point you may be able to. if Don gets famous, which is bound to happen way before us. Yeah.
Sort of the last two idiots on his
own. Yeah. You know, I had this one show that got banned by the FCC, so I had to do it on Facebook. that's awesome. So, kids, until next time, you know, again, this is Chris and Joe, and it's good to have Joe back and everything, but it's What's Your Effing Binge. Until next time, man, don't get any onion.
Bring your squeezy.